Good morning, KICY listeners, and welcome to Monday, November 12th, 2007, for another edition of Care Force. I'm John Cardwell, pastor of Scammon Bay Covenant Church in Scammon Bay, Alaska, and it's my blessed privilege to be on the Care Force program again this Monday to join with you in looking over the scriptures and to pray together with you for the prayer requests that have been called in. If you recall, we have been walking through the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 6. We've been looking at prayer. And as the Care Force program is a program that is geared toward prayer, I thought it would be nice to look over these passages of Scripture. And we've been reading Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. And before we continue on, I just want to remind you, if you do have prayer requests that you'd like to call in, that we can pray together on the air, you can call in from the villages at 1-800-478-5429. That is 1-800-478-KICY. And if you're calling in from Nome, you may dial locally at 443-2213. Again, that's 443-2213. If you have your Bibles, you may want to open up to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll be reading in verses 5 through 15. And if you care to, when we come to that portion that's known as the Lord's Prayer, that which we've been calling the disciples' prayer as we've been walking through Scripture, as Jesus taught the disciples, his disciples, how to pray, feel free to recite that along with us as we do read that. Let us begin with Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. May the Lord add his abundant blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Gracious and most holy Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we ask you, Lord, that you'll be with us during this time, that you'll minister unto our hearts refreshment to our souls, and that you'll minister unto our minds a renewal by the reading of your word, that we may be transformed by that renewal and be not conformed to the world. Lord, we pray that as you minister to us through your word, Lord, that you be glorified. Lord, that you be, the name of Jesus Christ be exalted, and that, Father, that we give this time over to you, that as you build us up through your word, as you minister unto even the unsaved through your effectual calling with irresistible grace, we pray, Lord God, that as you minister unto us, that we are worshiping you and ministering before you and ministering unto you during this time. Thank you, Father, for the Care Force program. And pray, Lord God, that you use this medium, this vehicle, that you may be glorified. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Last time we looked at the Lord's kingdom to come and His will be done. And today we're going to look at, more closely, we're going to look at verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I've taken an approach with give us this day our daily bread for the last several years as I've been teaching on this scripture. Our folks in Scammon Bay are well aware of how we've looked at this scripture, give us this day our daily bread, that has nothing to do, very little to do, maybe not nothing to do, but very little to do with our physical needs. This is a passage that speaks of our spiritual needs first and foremost. And I may even go as boldly as to say, as I, you know, it slipped out just earlier, I said it has nothing to do. It may actually have nothing, really nothing, whatsoever to do with our physical needs, not what we eat or drink, as we'll look at that in a moment. But I want to ask you this question, to ask yourself a question. As we have been looking at prayer over the last several weeks, just before I left for California at the beginning of September, I left Scammon Bay to take care of these medical appointments that we have down here in the lower 48 states. We finished our exposition of this scripture, our learning what Christ was telling us in the Sermon on the Mount concerning prayer, what He wants us to know concerning prayer. And we well know in Scammon Bay what these things are as we've looked at them and asked the Holy Spirit and are continuing to learn as we go into the closet of prayer. But I want to ask you this question, and even the folks in Scammon Bay that are listening, that we ask ourselves this question, is my prayer life, I'm going to go slow here, I want you to all listen in, and ask yourself this question, and continue to ask yourself this question, know what this question, that when you bring it before the Lord in prayer, and search your hearts. It says in the scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And one of the things I'm going to ask you is to ask yourself this question concerning prayer. Here's the question. Is my prayer life such that my prayer life brings me to a knowledge of the awareness of God? In fact, does my prayer life bring me to an awareness of God the Father always watching me? Do I have an awareness of God the Father always watching me? Now some may say, hey, I can't think of God all the time. But I am going to tell you that our prayer life is not so much in what we receive as it is in who we are and who we are to become. It's not in what, I'm going to say that again. Our prayer life, even when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, it is not to get something from God as far as our physical needs. It's not so much as to receive a blessing from God as it is to be the blessing of God. In other words, it is who we are, because who we are is that Christ is in us. Who we are in Christ and Christ in us. An abiding life. And to be conformed to the image of Christ from glory to glory. As we grow in maturity, this is what our prayer life is about. Ask yourself this question. I'll tell you, as a minister, as a pastor, as a Christian that's been walking with the Lord for just some, it's not long compared to many of the ministers that we have here in West, that they're serving in Western Alaska, like many of the pastors that you have been listening to on this program who have been walking with the Lord far longer than I have. I'll tell you that I have not reached that point where I can say I am completely aware of the Father's eyes upon me and everything that I think, say, and do. There are times that I'm not aware of that. And I believe that the Scriptures bear out that that is what God wants of us. Not to just walk and then casually think, okay, yeah, God's watching me or whatever, but an awareness that He's watching me, and that in that awareness, it brings my life to a life filled with the joy of God in Christ. a life filled with joy, knowing that God is watching me and being aware of His watching me. How do I prove that? Well, look in Scripture. In Scripture, and you don't have to turn there unless you have your Bible right there with you, but in John chapter 11, when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and he stands before the rolled stone in front of the tomb, and he says to move it aside, that in John chapter 11, after he tells them to take away the stone, Jesus prays in front of that tomb. And he lifted up his eyes, it says in John chapter 11 and verse 41. And he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people that stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus said something very interesting there. He says, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. Jesus was aware that his prayers were always, always, always answered. He always prayed according to the will of the Father. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5, in verses 14 and 15, it says that when we pray according to God's will, we will have what we ask for, as long as we're praying according to God's will. And His will is found in His Word. Jesus' prayers always were answered. He always prayed according to the Father's will. And He had an awareness. He had an awareness of the presence of God. He had an awareness of the presence of God. As in John chapter 6, when Jesus... Excuse me, in John chapter 8, just a little earlier, Jesus says in verse 29 something very interesting. In John chapter 8 and verse 29, he says, And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus was aware that he always did whatever the Father pleased him. Why? Because he was aware of the Father at every moment of his life as he walked upon this earth. Now, I can't say because Scripture is silent about his sleeping life, but at least every moment of his waking life. And that is something to be conscious of that, and then knowing the pleasure of God upon us, that our prayer life brings us that awareness of God and the joy that we receive by faith as a gift of God because we know the pleasure of God when we are walking to be conformed to the image of Christ. You remember that Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we have that passage of Scripture that says, For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, for those who are the called according to His purpose. I'm glad that it says that, for we know. It's not we suppose or we guess. It's for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, for those who are the called according to His purpose. Because verse 29 tells us that for whom He foreknew, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is the purpose of our prayer life, is to go into that time of that prayer closet, to meet with God, so that we, in our times out of the closet, we walk such that every situation and every circumstance that we meet with has the grace of the mercy and the mercy of God upon us within that circumstance, so that we're conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, so that we become like Jesus. And the purpose of our prayer life is not to get something as if, okay, now I prayed this prayer, I got it, and then I go on with my life. The purpose of our prayer life is to stay in prayer, as it is written, pray without ceasing. Not praying constantly like you're on your knees all the time with folded hands, but have a lifestyle of prayer that you're life is a walking prayer, so that you are abiding in Christ. You're not trying to get an answer to a specific prayer, but it keeps you in Christ, knowing that all prayers are answered when they're according to His will, and God's will for you, God's will for me, God's will for us is that we as human beings be conformed to the image of Christ. Not return back to Eden to be like Adam in the garden, but to be as Christ. To be conformed to the image of Christ and the sufferings that you and I are going through, the things that we're praying about, are those things that are bringing us and shaping us and molding us to be as Jesus Christ, to eventually that work will be finished by God. For he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, as it says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. So that when that work of God is finished in you, in me, in us as believers, we will be glorified and we will see him as he is, for we shall be like him. So what does it mean to give us this day our daily bread? I have already mentioned that it does not have to do really with our physical needs as getting food, getting drink, getting clothing. Because in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, therefore, in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather to barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And then he goes on to say in verse 31, wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Why would Jesus teach us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, and then tell us, turn around and say, don't even think about what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear? Jesus even told someone who said, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. He says, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Jesus didn't even have a roof over his head. And then he teaches in the sermon the priority of things, which are things that are heavenly. The heavenly man came down to show us even greater glory than that which was given in the Ten Commandments, that which was given in the Law of Moses. Greater glory by bringing heaven to earth and living it out before his disciples, you, me, us. To share with us something even more glorious. Remember that when Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he fasted for 40 days, he ate nothing, and when he became hungry again, he was literally starving to death. And Satan came unto him and said, well, if you're the Son of God, then command these stones that they be turned to bread. And Jesus said, what did he say? He quoted scripture from Deuteronomy. He says, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Give us this day our daily bread is right there in the clue. Not only is it not the food that we're to eat, it is the word of God. That's what's more important. Man is not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When we're praying, give us this day our daily bread, we're asking for the word of God. Why? Because the word of God, which is the Bible, contains the will of God, and that is how we are to pray according to 1 John chapter 5. If we ask anything according to His will, our prayers are answered, okay? What else is this bread of life? Well, when the disciples asked Jesus, how we should pray. In Luke chapter 11, and we touched upon this when we first started this series on prayer, when the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray. After Jesus came out of a time of prayer, they saw amazing things. And here, Jesus goes into prayer again, and they can see or sense something about Jesus that has glory and power, that Jesus, in the times of his private times, where he determines to detach himself from the things of the world and go privately before the Father, he comes forth with glory. He is grabbed on to grace, so to speak, in the closet of prayer. The great Puritan preacher Matthew Henry, in his commentary, said that's how the gospel goes forth, is that you grab on to grace in those times of prayer. And Jesus grabbed on to grace, for he is grace. He is the very God, the very man who comes forth, the God-man, Jesus of Nazareth, and came forth from his private times with prayer, in prayer with the Heavenly Father. And the disciples saw and said, teach us to pray. And he teaches the same model of prayer. Not the same exact words, but the same model of prayer as he taught the disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. And he teaches them those things. And then in Luke 11, Jesus gives them a commentary actually on the bread of life. On the daily bread. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus says, give us day by day our daily bread, not give us this day our daily bread, as it says in Matthew 6. And then he makes a comment. He says, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he hath need. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Your daily bread that you're asking for is the filling and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. To be filled in such a way that it's not just to be filled, as I sometimes pray, to overflowing, but actually that filling that increases our very souls, expands the borders of our souls that we can hold and contain more of the grace and goodness of God. Even more than we did the previous day. Even more than we did the previous time of our private time in our prayer closet. The Holy Spirit, and then the Spirit to come upon us, to empower us, that we apprehend, we grab a hold of grace, the grace of God within the time of prayer, that when we go forth, the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God pours forth from our lives, as it says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, when Jesus, before he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father, he says to his disciples, tarry here in Jerusalem, wait here in Jerusalem, so that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, that you'll be baptized with fire and the Holy Spirit. He says that in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, that when the Holy Spirit, when he hath come upon you, you shall receive power after that he hath come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That when we are filled and we are filled to greater grace and glory in our times of prayer, that we are also empowered by the Holy Spirit to go forth and carry that grace and mercy and love, pouring forth, flowing forth, a good measure pressed out, shaken together, and running over, that we walk in justice, compassion, and the mercy of God. The Holy Spirit is our daily bread, according to the Word of God, which is our daily bread. Finally, the third thing that our daily bread is, and it's much more than that. It is much more, but these three things are primary, give us this day our daily bread. If we are praying these, as it says in Matthew, and these other things, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and what you shall put on, will be added unto you. It says also in Matthew chapter 6, lay up not treasures in, it says to lay up treasures in heaven, and not these, you know, these other things. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And if you're praying for, you're fervently praying for these things, the Word of God is your bread of life. The Holy Spirit is your bread of life. The very bread of life itself, it's the person of Jesus Christ, and therein is the power. That, not merely words that say it's our personal relationship, but Christ, the absent yet present Christ, as Alexander McLaren would preach. He would say the absent present Christ, the unseen visible Christ, that when we go before the Lord of glory in our closet of prayer, in the name of Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the risen and exalted one, is with us, that there is a certainty that he is there. Even as I'm preaching right now, even as you're listening over the radio right now, understanding the anointing of Jesus Christ himself, as it says in John chapter 6, that Jesus said that he was the bread of life in verse 48. John chapter 6 in verse 48, I am the bread of life. In verse 51, I am the living bread. Jesus Christ is, give us this day our daily bread, to have more of his word in us and through us, to have more of his spirit in us and upon us, and have more of the person of Jesus Christ in that blessed relationship with us, abiding with us, and living in us, and living through us, that we, as the body of Christ, are his hands and his feet for God's glory. That is the bread of life. That is what we should be praying for, beloved. That is the ministry of prayer. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, seeking after these glorious and wonderful things of God, that it goes far beyond the pettiness, I'll call it that. I'm going to call it that. The pettiness of thinking what we're going to eat and drink and what we're going to wear. Young people, if you're listening in, well, you should be in, it should be a holiday, so you shouldn't have school. And I hope that there are young people that are listening in. We are taken up so much with what we're going to wear, aren't we? As teenagers, as young people, even as kids in elementary school. I see you worried about how you fix your hair. Well, hey, let me tell you, when I woke up the other day, my hair was up just like all these young boys put it up and spike it with a smooth and everything. And hey, I didn't have to do anything except wake up and not comb my hair. And I walked out like that. I was in style. But it didn't really matter, because that's not the priority of my life. The priority of my life is Jesus Christ. When you waste time trying to think about what you're going to put on, and I'm not talking about, come on, we live in Alaska, right? I'm not talking about not putting on something warm. I'm talking about some of these styles that cause you young people to dress just like the world. You need to repent from that kind of thing. Why do you want to be like the world if you call yourself a Christian? Dress like the world. Be like the world. It says, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How is your mind renewed? By getting into the Word of God and the Word of God getting into you. I don't mean it to sound harsh, young people, but I want it to come in the loving way that it's intended. I love you. And I want you to have the very best, and the very best is having Christ first, last, and everything in between. Jesus Christ is not a bauble that you put on. He's not an ornament or a decoration or jewelry that you can just put on and take off at your whim. He is life itself. And if our prayer lives reflect that it is just things that we want, and you adults, you parents, and you grandparents that let your children get away with that, thinking that it's what I eat, the filling my belly, what I drink, and what I wear. When we are letting our children just do that, it reflects that where our hearts are, we don't care. That we say, it's okay. Go ahead and go after the things of the world. Our daily bread is more than that. In fact, our daily bread is not even any of those things. Our daily bread are the things of God. Our daily bread are the things of God. Beloved, let us have our position in life in Christ and our place in life in heavenly things. As it is written in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That means that every blessing that a holy and infinite heaven can contain are the blessings that belong to us as children of God. And we sell it short for things of the world, things that are moth-eaten and corrupt, things that will be destroyed. Oh, brothers and sisters, there is such a greater thing for us, even now in our prayer lives, that just touch on the heavenly things that are to come. That we are pilgrims in this world, awaiting the world to come. And our reality as pilgrims in this world and as ambassadors of Christ in this foreign country, there is a joy unspeakable in knowing that we walk to be conformed to the image of Christ such that we will know the joy of the awareness of our Heavenly Father beholding us, His eyes upon us, in great love and with great pleasure in the things that we do. And that great pleasure is that it is Christ as I decrease and He increase. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, Creator of heavens and the earth, we cry out to you as adopted children through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Abba, Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we know that food is not the thing that should be driving us. Drink is not the thing that should be moving us, and clothing is not the thing that should be giving us acceptance among those that we meet. But it is you, Lord God, your Word, your Holy Spirit, the person of Jesus Christ, for the pleasure and glory of God the Father. We pray, Lord God, that these words will strike deep and dear into our hearts as we reflect upon our prayer lives and go into our prayer lives asking that question, is it such that I'm growing in the awareness of God in all that I think, say, and do? Make that, Lord, a question that we ask until it is a reality in our lives. Bring us to that point in prayer that you're glorified in all things. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. Well, we have technological problems. Please stand by. The prayer requests have, just a second here, I'm checking to see. Our prayer requests have not come across on the internet airwaves. And I love to, as you know, I love to read them off and then we pray together. But as we prayed and as we know that our priority in prayer, and as we'll see, if the Lord should tarry, we'll be able to see in a couple weeks the other things, to forgive us our debts and lead us not into temptation, these things that are called petitions or requests of God, how they deal much more surely with our spiritual lives than, and much more deeper with spiritual truths and biblical doctrines than meets the eye. And so God knows, as it does say, as Jesus tells us, that our Heavenly Father knows the things that we have need of before we ask Him, according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. And though we haven't received the, I don't have the list of the requests to read them off, I'm not hindered to be able to pray. If you do have prayer requests, know that they have been prayed for and they continue to be prayed for, but you can call in at 1-800-478-5429. That's 1-800-478-KICY, and from Nome you can dial locally at 443-2213. And though I don't speak any of them out, and though I have not been able to read them, God knows, as Jesus said, our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of before we ask. He knows your needs. And so we're going to pray, and we're going to seek after the Lord's face. We're going to seek after the Lord's glory. We're going to seek after the Lord's grace in this prayer. And we'll bring up some things that we should be praying for together. And know that if you've called in a prayer request, sorry, can't read it over the airwaves, that others can be praying with understanding and with knowledge for you. But it doesn't matter as much as it matters that we know that our Heavenly Father knows, okay? Let us go before our Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, we ask you, Lord, to minister unto us in such a way, Lord, that we may grab a hold of the grace that you just taught us. Lord, even me, I ask you, Father, that I may grab a hold of your grace now as we pray. That I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. That every single human being on the planet since Adam deserves an eternal life of torment in hell, separated from you, separated from your, from the joyous things of an eternal heaven. We deserve eternal punishment, Lord. We deserve your wrath poured out upon us, but we have your mercy through Jesus Christ. Not just forgiveness of sins, Lord, but you look upon us as if we are as righteous as your Son was, and we thank you, Lord God, for that. We are so, Lord, make in our lives a heart aching, so a heart aching reality of your goodness and love for what you have done in the work of your Son upon the cross. We thank you, Lord, and pray, Father, that even for the blood of the prophets that was spilled and the blood of the martyrs who preserved your word, that your word has been preserved and handed down to us, we pray, Lord, that you give us this day the daily bread of your word, not just what we have read today, but that we may meditate upon that which you have spoken through your word, and that we can pray without ceasing according to your will, which is your holy word. Father, we pray that we may be filled to expand us to be beyond what we pray for your Holy Spirit, that we have more of you each day and each time we pray. If we pray several times a day, Lord, each time we come to the time of prayer, whether private or in public, may we be expanded, each one of us individually, to have more of your Holy Spirit in us. And come upon us, Lord. Come upon us, Lord, to be empowered to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel with compassion and with tears, if need be, Lord. That those who are lost may be saved, that you may be glorified. Those that don't know you, Lord, may not only know you, but know with a certainty that you know them. And will not say to them in that day, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. We pray, Lord, that they may hear, that those who are lost, that they may hear those words coming over the hill. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We pray, Lord, for the lost in our villages. We ask you, Father, to minister unto them, that your effectual calling, through the preaching of the gospel and not through man's gimmicks or methods, but, Lord, through weak vessels, through foolish vessels, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble have been called, but you use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And Father, as we are foolish for Christ's sake, as we are weak and only strengthened by Christ in us, for he, when we are weak, he is strong and mighty to save. And pray, Father, that the power of your Spirit may go forth, and that the world may see a transformed life and glorify you, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our ministers in Alaska, for our for the servants of God, Father, for those that are ministering in the villages, Father. We pray, Lord, for great grace upon their lives to minister the gospel and to minister unto individual lives as pastors and preachers and teachers of the living word. We pray, dearest Heavenly Father, for the empty pulpits, Lord, and for the villages with no missionary, with no minister, with no preacher, with no teacher, with no Bible study going forth. We pray, Lord, that the light will go forth into every village. We pray, Lord, that those empty pulpits will be filled with ministers most high, because they're not exalted in themselves, but that you are exalted in their lives, filling them to overflowing, broadening their borders with your Holy Spirit and empowering them. We pray, Lord, for the presence of Christ in our lives, even as we're praying right now, that we know with a surety and the reality of the presence of Jesus, the visible yet unseen, present yet absent, the truth of his life in us and his death as life. We thank you, Lord, for that daily bread. We pray, as Heavenly Father, for the needs that are out there, Lord, for these sicknesses and infirmities. I pray, Father, that if healing is not immediate and miraculous at this moment, even through the doctors and nurses, attendants and physicians that you have all over Alaska ministering unto the health needs, I pray, Father, that you grant us grace that we may glorify you despite a healing that waits, that hasn't come. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we grow in grace and we be conformed to the image of Christ, that even as our Lord Jesus suffered, that our suffering is nothing compared to the glories that will be revealed to us in Christ Jesus. conform us to the image of Christ, Lord, and cause us to abide, that our prayers bring us to an abiding life, not to have something answered and to walk away, but to continue to abide and abide and abide as you in us and we in you, that we are all one in Christ. We pray, Father, for that abiding. We pray, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our leaders. First off, in our villages, Lord, for our city managers and our mayors, and for our traditional councils and our tribal councils, Father, we pray, Father, that you give them wisdom and knowledge, and that that we may live peaceably on the planet, Lord, and that they are ministers, even your ministers, whether they're saved or not, they're ministers for your glory, that utter chaos doesn't rule and reign through the day, that we might live peaceably. We pray, Father, for our magistrates, our judges, and our civil servants, Father. We pray for our police officers, our village public safety officers, and our village police. We pray, Father, that you minister unto them wisdom. Pray, Father, that you will minister unto them grace and mercy according to your goodness, Lord, and not according to what we deserve. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our representatives in the Alaska State Senate, and pray, Father, that you minister unto them for the for all that they are legislating on our behalf. And pray, Father, that also for our governor, for Governor Palin, and pray, Father, that you give her wisdom to govern our state and represent our state in the name of Christ. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for all our U.S. senators, and pray, Father, that you minister to them, for all our U.S. senators, Lord, not just our Alaskan senators, but also for our representatives, but also for all those in the lower 48 states. We pray, Father, for the President of the United States. Father, I pray that you bring unto him saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm saddened that we would just casually call him a Christian when he makes statements that say that as a Christian that we worship the same God, because I do not worship the God of Allah. I do not worship the God of Buddha. That's not the God of Scripture. So I pray, Lord, that you bring him, bring unto our president salvation. And I pray, Father, for any of those that think that worship a God that is not the God according to Scriptures, that you, Lord, you have mercy upon us, have mercy upon them, Lord. Have mercy upon us that we have not stood boldly to say that that's not the God of Scripture. And pray, Lord, that we repent and that we turn and we say, Lord, we are willing to stand according to Scripture, for many men have given their blood according to its truths, and say what it is. Pray, Father, that you bring them salvation. And for whoever ever is elected in these elections, Father, whether we voted for them or not, pray, Father, that you bring unto them salvation and the glory of Christ in all things, that they may be saved. Or if condemned, that we, Lord, if they have rejected your grace, that we be not bitter or angry, but that we glorify you in whatever the cause, saying that the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. That we may stand with Elijah when he says, "Why halt ye between two opinions?" May our opinion be one, and may it be in Christ Jesus according to Scriptures. May it be at the foot of the cross, Lord God. And for all our prayers in Western Alaska, I thank you, Father, for the men and women that I serve with in Western Alaska to minister the gospel. I thank you, Lord, that I for the people of the villages, Lord, that are ministering alongside the pastors, that are being raised as pastors, Lord. I pray for them, and I pray, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that if you should tarry, that your love go forth in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, that sometimes we have preached the gospel and we have gone forth and preached the gospel without compassion, though they be the truths of your loving word. And I pray, Father, that we preach forth the gospel with honor and humility and in righteousness and holiness, Lord, that we have forsaken those things and that we have compromised and become so much a part of the world in order to try to edge people into heaven and convince them out of hell, that we have forsaken the true truth and the spirit leading of the gospel. Forgive us, Lord. And we thank you for your grace. And as we're reminded of the cross, we thank you, Lord, for your love and for the great price that our Lord Jesus has paid to hang between heaven and earth, and for your wrath to be poured out upon Almighty God, that he may cry out, "It is finished." Father, may the words "it is finished" come forth in Western Alaska, that we may fall on our knees and repent if we know you not, and call out upon the one name under heaven and in earth that men may be saved, and that is the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the anointed of God. And in his name we pray. Amen.